right, back on the Joe Buck Fan Podcast. You know, I bring in all the biggest names, maybe none bigger than my next guest. You can hear him weeknights, CBS Sports Radio, coast to coast. He's number one with truckers, hookers, college kids. He's my buddy. He's vile, but boy, he's toned it down. But he's still the best guy on the radio. If you really want, you want to kick it old school, none other than the one, the only Scott Ferrell joins me on the Joe Buck Fan Podcast. Scotty, how are you, my friend?
What's up, brother?
As football season looms, it comes up on us quick. I mean, it's a crazy time of year as college football has kicked off in a big way. NFL does it this Sunday. And, well, down here in Tampa, we started with a little guarded optimism. The first game against your Steelers, the first team offense played okay. Everybody went nuts, like all the problems are fixed. Then three games, 15 sacks. The offensive line, maybe the worst I've ever seen. Now it's doom and gloom, my friend. What do you think about Bruce Arians coming to Tampa? Can he turn this thing around, or is it just time to drop a bomb on it and blow up? What are your thoughts from afar, Pharrell?
Well, I don't think that, you know, they're that bad. I think they got some players. I think they obviously have guys that can get it done, like Evans. And you know, I think fans have waited long enough for famous Jameis to come through. I won't deny that he's put up big numbers, you know, and we kind of feel like it's because they're always losing.
So, exactly.
Like, if you're losing, you know, you're coming from behind, and he's throwing in the fourth, you know, late in the third and fourth, the entire quarter, that he's just jacking the ball all over the field to make, you know, up for being down and making a comeback. And that's where all those numbers come from, because he really doesn't win, right? So when, you know, he starts winning consistently, which he never has, I think that's what fans have gotten sick and tired of waiting for in Tampa. So I think, you know, Arians has had, he's notorious. He's been able to turn guys around and make them better. So I think that'll be his, frankly, his last shot.
That's the thing, Pharrell. The proponents of Jameis Winston say, look at this offense. Look at these record numbers. Pharrell, you know as well as I do, there's not one fucking team in the league that says, oh shit, Tampa Bay's coming to town and that high-powered offense. All the yards are when they're down 28-0 because of a couple Winston turnovers and a shitty defense. It's now or never. He's in his fifth year. How I've asked people from New York, Chicago, you wouldn't last 2 years in Philly if you made it through one. 5 years this kid's been given. He's on his third coaching staff. I think he's got so many voices in his head, Pharrell, that he forgot how to fucking play in the first place. I hate to say, I'd hate to just shit the bed and start over, because as a Bucs fan, I don't want to see a year wasted. Apparently, Arian's seen something in this guy. I don't know. Can you coach suck out of a quarterback, or is that innate?
Well, I think you, at one time, for sure, if I remember correctly, that you liked him when they got him.
I did, and I supported him, and I've supported every quarterback that comes through Tampa Bay, Vinny, Dilfer. This guy, at times, Pharrell, looks worse than all of them combined.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, at one point you loved him, and then the relationship soured, and now it's crapped the bed completely. So, you know, generally in those situations, I think you should drink tequila and get a divorce, because it's never, you know, it's irreparable. It's not going to get fixed. I think he's on his last legs. Now, like I said, there in Tampa, he could play somewhere else. Who knows? But the shelf life is short if you're not great. He's been anything but great. But I won't deny that the guy can sling it. And I also actually don't believe that he's fully broken in terms of that he's, you know, he's committed at the very least. Like, he still works, and he's not a loser anymore. He's not doing anything stupid off the field. He's just been a quarterback that's done his job. He's just finding out how hard it is to be great. You know, he's good at times. He's even better than good, but he's never been great. So, like, I think he's working toward that, and I think he's been pretty much a model citizen. And, I mean, I get your vicious feelings toward him and everything like that, but there's been a lot of guys just like him. They got a lot of hype and a lot of juice, and then they flopped in the NFL. It's no joke. That job is there's only 32 of them, whatever, and it's a hard job to get and a hard job to keep, and it's a hard job to do good at.
Exactly. Scott Ferrell, CBS Sports Radio, joins me. You know, he's been given 4 years. All the excuses in the world, no. And now, the offensive line, yeah, it has been a disaster. The running game has gone away, and they did nothing to help him out. They did nothing. They got no free agency. Rojo Jones, their number three pick of last year from USC, had 50 goddamn yards last year. So he looked good in preseason. Whether that transfers, I don't know. If he has no running game and no offensive line, he's done. He's done.
He's had players there. Calm down. He had Jackson.
O.J. Howard.
Okay, listen. O.J. Howard's a good player.
Awesome.
And the bottom line is that if they would win, then you would shut up.
Sure.
But until they win, you're livid and all the rest. You know, you're like any other fan that goes crazy when all you do is lose and have problems. Now, like, look at Cleveland. They've kind of, you know, turned the corner. Now they win 7. They went 7-1, whatever it was, tied the Steelers 21 apiece in that rainy opening day. And now everybody's picking them to win the Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. If you guys would win 7, 8, 9 games and actually take a division, I think you'd stop freaking out on him. But I don't think he's your only problem. I actually think he works. I think they got other problems. I think it was probably a good idea to bring in Arians. He's, you know, versed. He's done it all. He's coached at a high level. He's won. He's done this. He's done that. So I think that, you know, he's like back in the day when they had Gruden there, they got somebody that was good. Arians is good. He's not like the greatest. He's not Lombardi or anything, but he's won. So I think they'll, you know, when Dungy went there, they won. I think this guy will go there and win. And then I think you'll calm down about Winston. The bottom line is they think he works. If they didn't think he worked, and if they didn't think that he busted his ass, and if they didn't think that he had an arm and made plays and could win, they would have got rid of him already, dude.
Exactly. And man, I'm going into this season open book on Winston. If he proves me wrong, I'll be the president of his fan club. But until he does, I can be nothing but what I've seen on the field. But you're right, they have other problems. A big problem, a horrible problem. That defense, Burrell, has been historically bad. No lead has been safe. They had no pass press at all. So they bring in Todd Bowles. You're familiar with him. He just got run out of New York, but he's a good defensive coordinator. He's got these quarterbacks. They do have some talent on that side of the ball. Gerald McCoy is gone. A lot of hate for him in Tampa because, well, he wasn't Warren Sapp. And there was only one Warren Sapp, an inside lineman is going to get that kind of numbers. But they bring in the monster. Vita Vey last year, the number one pick came on. Lady looks good. And Dominican Sue, they'll go to a 3-4 defense. The defensive backs are starting knocking balls down. It starts with the defense. If they can get the defense turned around at least – all I want is productivity and a competitive team, and we'll see what happens. But I think Bowles is a gigantic addition to that defense. And he might not have been a good coach, head coach in New York, but a defensive coordinator, he's never had any complaints.
Well, the reason is New York's a different beast altogether, and they chewed and spit him out eventually. The losing, they just chopped his head off. Bottom line is the guy can coach. And I think their defense will be all the better for him. I think that you have some players now that can get it done. I thought Sue got it done with the Rams. He gets it done wherever. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, but the bottom line is Bowles, I think, was meant to be like a D coordinator, same as Rex Ryan. I thought he was a D coordinator, never a good head coach. But I actually think their defense could have potential, but it has certainly been an issue. We'll find out how much of an issue it is against Garoppolo because he's going to, I guess, play healthy. And if he's healthy, we'll see if he's for real because we've seen him before light it up, win several, you know, 5 games in a row. He lit it up. Then he got hurt and everything. So we don't really know what to expect. People judged him from the preseason, and he played very little, sparsely, and he sucked. But the bottom line is if that guy's lit, if he's playing at a high level and he sees the field well, he could have a big game, and you could find out if your defense sucks or not.
Scott Burrell, CBS Sports Radio, joins me, my buddy. Longtime friend of the show, and we go way back. You and I sat in the old sombrero for many a smoky, sultry afternoon, man.
Do you think that my dad, my late father, is actually living in your house as a spirit?
He may be. The other night, I did get a nudge. I got a nudge for El that goes, Sean, can you scoot over? I need to talk to you. I'd get these phone calls for El from Tom Farrell. The what a 5-card beauty your dad was. He'd go, Sean, we need to do something about that car the boy Wonder left down there in sunny FLA. Look, I'm looking to get Blue Book value. Can you work with me? Do you know a buyer? Can we market this thing? I go, Tom, I'll buy it from you. I'll give you $1,000. He goes, let me look at some numbers. I'm going to get back with you, Sean. Have a good night. He called me back. He goes, Sean, look, Tom Farrell, look, I ran some numbers on the Blue Book's actually 16. What do you say we split it in half and I'll give it to you for 12.5, kid? I go, you got it, Tom. I'll send you a check today. He says, well done, sir.
Well done, Junior.
Your dad was a beauty. I remember before I met him in person, he would call you. He'd call down here, and I'd get on the phone and do my Harry. Now, the Cubs are now 48.5 behind the Mets as they're sneaking up on him, and I had him in stitches. And I think what really turned him on to me when he came into my house and he saw the Mazeroski picture above the fireplace, I think it was, and he told me the story how that really wasn't the memory for him. It was the guy before him who got on base. There was some story that he was there that day, obviously, and he was just a great man, a funny guy. I remember he had to have dental work done, and we're driving him around town. I go, turn left, and right and the left. He goes, gentlemen, I got to need a crown filled. I got a hideous stench coming from my lower bridge work. Can I, Sean, you know a dentist in the town anywhere? I go, right up here, sir. He goes, I'm going to drop you fellows off. We go, we'll take Main Street, Tom. Main Street? What's down there, a library? I didn't think so. Here's 20. You guys get some suds. And he goes, $20. I could drink both you pussies under the table in my day. He was a beauty, man. And I talked to him after you moved away from Sarasota. I would continue to have conversations. He was a five-card jewel. And I was telling you before you came on the air, I recently heard when your dad recently passed, you were on a show talking about a grand send-off for a grand man.
Tell him what happened. You had a...
Okay, I had a picture. You were up at NHL All-Star Games in Tampa, 1999. Right, you came and did a live remote. You and Sam Rosen were at that shitty little bar across the... Which is, by the way, Vinick has bought all that. It's all gorgeous now. So days your dad was there. Sean, how are you, kid? Sit down. Let me get you a coldie. He goes, what do you think of the boy Wonder here? He's doing well, huh? You think he'd save some money? I think he's drinking too much. What do you think? Should we talk to him? I said, I got my own problems, sir. So he goes, who's this nugget you got? I had my new wife with me. Sit down, honey. Let me buy you a couple suds. So anyways, we took a bunch of pictures that night, and I always knew where they were. And recently I posted one when you told me of his passing, I posted one online. I said, this is my friend Pharrell and his father, who was just a Hall of Fame gentleman. And then I heard your story about how you spent the last few hours with him and just tore him around the parking lot in his wheelchair and drinking beer and pizza. And it was just an awesome, you know, it's an incredible story. And the next morning, I swear to God, I walk out in my kitchen and there's a picture of me and your father arm in arm. I had never seen the picture before. I don't know where the hell it came from. Maybe it was stuck to the back of the picture that I showed you. I have no clue, but it was, I don't know what the hell it meant. That's pretty bizarre odds that I just hearing you talk about your father and a picture that was taken 25 years ago appears in my kitchen.
So maybe he's living, like I said,
I hope he is.
He's living in your house, and then on weekends he stays out in the Chevy parked on the side of the garage.
Chad, we need to look up the ID number on that celebrity. Apparently there was some drug activity in 93 that I need to...
Listen, wait. Remember that I drove it around for like a year with fake plates on it?
I know.
3 months I changed the plates.
Pharrell worked at a Kinko's and came up with this genius idea. Photocopy the fake plate. So when it expires, photocopy a new one. Let me tell you something. I've done that, and it works like a champ. Pharrell, you're the best, man. What do you... Quickly back to the Bucks and a couple other ones. I'm not that scared of San Francisco coming in here. We're going to smoke their ass out. They practice with no humidity out in Santa Clara drinking rosé.
Whatever.
We might suck, but we can take them down. I like the Bucks to win on Sunday.
That's what you sound like, the Florida State fan.
I'm no homer. I hate all Florida teams with the Bucks. Don't get me mixed in with these hayseeds.
Listen, how's did you guys feel any of those bands will make her dance from the hurricane in
The only bands we got was Slipknot up in Tampa Tuesday afternoon. Went up there and raged.
That's a good show, Slipknot. Oh. I play Slipknot on my
show. Are you crazy? You ever been to a show? There's like 48 people on stage. The guy banging on the keg of beer with a pin stuck through his face. Between this radio gig I got going, my band, everything's coming up roses, and I still get to argue with you. How he messed up a single phone call this morning. What the fuck? Dude, don't fucking text me because I'm trying to call you, and I got to lay down at 2 to 5, you fuck. I kid. I mean, you're a busy man. I don't mean to waste your time. Let me tell you something, Pharrell. The last time we talked was with the Bucks' hot start last year. You had me on your show. What do you say? The Bucks get off to a good start, And I'm your Buccaneer correspondent down here in Tampa for CBS Sports Radio. Confirm it on the air.
For sure.
Oh, thanks.
And then, I have to like sit on top of the dump button because you've gotten. So
I'm not going to say no. Boy,
I work on the Vatican Network, as you know, for the highest of high.
Absolutely.
G Network, the family network. And trust me, grandpa, dad, cousin, uncle, dealer, drug dealer, car dealer, beer vendor, taxi driver, trucker, they all listen. Everyone listens. You listen. They listen. Chicks listen. Chicks dig me. Other ones hate me, want me dead.
Quick question, Pharrell. I got to ask you.
It's just a test of time.
And I love the CBS lineup with Rome and Tiki and Tierney. How come everybody on that goddamn network has their TV show on during the day when no one can watch it because everyone's at work? I would watch every night, as would I would imagine you'd get huge numbers. The set's there. Why doesn't your show simulcast on TV? It would make perfect sense. Or you're not into that, or they're not into it.
We film it and do a lot of stuff with it. I don't have any kind of a relationship with them. You know what I mean? Like, so they're different entities. Like a long time ago, or you know, a few years ago, they sold it to Entercom. So they bought the entire CBS radio company for the radio side for like $3 billion. So when that happened, then different people run that, and then I'm over here working. They took the network over to the Entercom side, and then I still do the same show nationally in over 200 markets. So the show's huge; it's enormous for them anymore. So I don't have any kind of relationship with any of those people. So, but I don't. So I do other things, like I do the NFL Network gig for 14 years.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I'm going to start doing HQ. Allegedly, I'm going to do a sports betting thing on there. For like a couple days a week, maybe a couple shots, because I'm friends with that. A couple of the anchors, and they want me on there. They asked me to do it. I said I'd do it. So if it comes together, it comes together. And if it doesn't, everyone should just do bong rips. Like, I give a crap. Go to a tailgate party, drink beers, shots.
Let me ask you something.
Go to games. Bet on games.
Is Phyllis George still have any pull over there? How about Jane Kennedy? Is she still involved with the production?
You know, so I met Brent Musburger when I was in Vegas. I had never met him, and I'm 54 and he's 81 or something like that. I'd never met him. But when I was a kid, I told him, I listened to him call Bulls games on BBM in Chicago in my bed at night. Instead of going to bed, I'd listen to him call, Artis Gilmore in the paint with his sweet fro. So I thought the guy had a legendary career, and he lives out there now in Vegas. So
is he still doing
the other day?
Is he still doing the Raiders radio?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's doing it. And here's another tidbit for you: the Raiders Stadium, by the way. I talked about this on my show last night. No, seriously. Now, the Vegas one and the L.A. one, where the Rams and Chargers are playing, are two different entities. But the one in L.A. has got everything, shopping, restaurants. It's crazy. It's like hotels, the whole deal. And so it took like 3 years. It's still not done. It's going to be done next year.
Right.
And then the Vegas one. So last year at the Super Bowl, I was out there. I go every year. And there was like a hole in the ground. I was there the other last week. For an entire week doing my show live downtown. And on the way back to the airport in the limo, I looked over and I saw it coming and going. But on the way back, you literally can reach out the window and touch it with your arm from the freeway. It's right there, like behind the Mandalay. And it's already up. Like the entire shell of the stadium is up in the air.
Unbelievable. I saw
crazy.
A drone. I saw a drone fly over last week. How cool is this, Pharrell? When you're out there, you don't have to fuck around with parking. You can go, they're going to tunnel underground where you can go from your casino. You can watch your 1 o'clock game or out there a 10 a.m. game. Place your bets, if not at the stadium. You shimmy underground up into the, no parking, no parking lot tailgate. You go from casino to game and back for your 8 o'clock kickoff, the NBC Prime game. It is a match made in heaven, because even if the Raiders suck, whoever they're playing, that's their game of the year. Imagine the Packers going to Vegas, the Bills, the Giants, every red-blooded, cheese-eating freak in Wisconsin. That's their whole year is going out to Vegas. So it's win or lose, it's win, win, win for Vegas. I think it's beautiful. And how long Gruden lasts out there is anybody's guess. But how can – I think everyone secretly is a little bit of a Raider fan just based on a cool-ass uniform.
Well, they fine Brown $50,000-some dollars for all of his –
he's a disaster.
Shenanigans at training camp. He's a tool. But the stadium's done. And know this. In Vegas, in Nevada, you can bet on your phone all day. So forget going to the casino. They'll go right to the stadium. They're literally the suites are selling for $500,000 for 8 home games.
Awesome.
Whatever it is, 10. You get the 2 preseason games, right? Or however many it is. Anyway, so bottom line, they're super expensive. It's for the rich. And, you know, the hockey arena is the same way. It's a really expensive ticket, but it's the best show in the NHL, bar none. I went to see the Penguins and Knights play. It's crazy. The atmosphere in the bars and restaurants around that place before the game are exotic. And then it's just a better time all around. There's a nightclub in the arena. As you're watching the game, you look over, they're dancing in a nightclub hanging over the arena. It's craziness. I think Vegas with this Super Bowls will be there, Final Fours, concerts. You know, I believe, I've said this before, 10 years they'll have baseball and NBA in Vegas. They'll have all 4. Vegas has become a huge sports town, and the betting there is easy. You can do it right on your phone all day long. I make all my bets in Vegas. I'm there. I'm sitting right at the sports book. I'm sitting in a chair or in a booth, and I'm chilling the most, and I just make the bet right from my hand.
It's unbelievable.
Getting up and standing in line. Screw that.
Scott Farrell joins us, and I know you got up against it. You got to run, Scotty. One more question. You're in New Jersey, where sports betting is legalized, and there's FanDuel's probably on every corner, I'd imagine.
Right, there is.
They're going to shoot. That's going to be proposed here in Florida in November. The old fuckers are going to shoot it down. I guarantee they're going to piss all over it. But it's about to hit New York City next year, am I right?
Yeah, I think, I don't know when New York's going to do it, but Jersey did it, and here's the bottom line. In the last, 2 quarters of the year, Jersey beat Las Vegas in profit. So New Jersey, the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, is the number one profitable sportsbook in America.
Incredible.
And they did it in 1 year, and now they're doing it quarter after quarter after quarter. More action, because everyone from New York City comes over to Bridge or through the tunnel, and they go right to the Meadowlands to where the Giants and Jets play, and that's where the sportsbook is. The sportsbook is enormous. And it is a huge thing. And you can now bet on mobile in the state of New Jersey, same way with a GPS app on your phone. And everyone's doing it. I mean, it's like New Jersey's the number one sports betting state in America now, easily. And it's because of the volume of people. There's more people here. And, you know, New York and New Jersey are gigantic. Connecticut, the tri-state area. I mean, New York alone, New York City, you know, 10 million people live in the city. So outside the city, there's another 20 million. I mean, it's just insanity. It makes L.A., Chicago, all the rest. It's like, kiss our ass. We're up here. We're like, look at us. We're like this. Take a look. Smell that.
Am I to understand, too, that they've built extra, like, little rest areas? Because you cannot bet over the phone. They know you're in the New York City province. You have to go over the bridge, and they have rest areas just to park and make your bet in New Jersey, turn around, and go back to the city. Is that correct?
That is true.
And awesome.
What they need to do next is, so you can get medicinal in New Jersey, but what they need to do is just, the geezers you're talking about, they voted it down, the smoke weed. But here's the deal. In California and Nevada, which I go serve in San Diego a lot, and obviously I'm in Vegas all the time. It's legal there. And it's like the easiest thing in the world. It's no big deal. Everybody's smoking fatties. It's like, wherever you go, you see it, smell it. People are smoking everywhere.
Yeah.
You name it, they're smoking. It's legal.
It's legal here.
You can smoke right in front of a cop's face. You can't do anything about it.
20 years too late. It's too scary now. Well, we used to smoke and giggle and get high. Now I smoke, I have a panic attack. I'm under the car dialing 911. Right. I'm afraid of it. It scares me.
If they allow you to sit at a rest stop and gamble.
Yeah. How about a legal hooker?
You should be allowed to get have a fat thumb and a hooker.
I want a hand job, a fucking 3-team parlay, and a Hummer in from the fucking New Jersey Turnpike.
And a couple donuts, you know, because they always have the donut shop at the rest area, too. And you can grab a donut and a cup of Joe, and everybody's happy and smoking fatty.
People
make your bed, and then go back to the city where they suck the life out of you. I spend $20,000 a year just driving over those bridges and tunnels. $20,000 a year.
That's brutal. That's got to be taxing on your nerves.
And I told you, I was driving last night, Mafia and I in the car. The car started making noises. I went today. It's like a dime to fix it.
What do you got? The new 2018 celebrity?
remember that.
Ah, Scotty, I'm going to need to talk to you about that 19. I think it's a bad purchase. It's TR from the great beyond. Look, Scotty, I told you to get that advanced package.
That was a great car.
That fucking celebrity, you crazy? I drove around with that one smashed out headlight for like 8 years. It's fucking beautiful. I remember when I first drove it, when we were out there in stately Wayne Manor, you had like Christian tapes. I go, dude, what the fuck are you listening to? What? Yeah, like a Glenn Miller and fucking Christy. And I go, you said what? I go, get that shit out of the car. I'd wake up with Slayer every morning and go, dude, how can you listen to that first thing in the morning? I said, how can you not? And then, well, before you know it, you had a problem.
Your lines or your teeth. I don't even.
I got one more question, then I'll let you go. I got one more question.
You're making up stories.
Oh, my ass.
Listen. What did you say his name was? Glenn what?
Glenn Miller and the Pat Robertson 700 Club Best Hits. Can you confirm or deny you had a problem with power at your house and your 13-year-old son called you an a-hole? Can you confirm or deny?
You're tripping.
I heard you say it on a podcast. My son called me something that ended in hole.
My kids call me everything. There's no filter. My entire family here that I'm married to on the side, her side is from Belfast. They'll blow your knees off, your freaking legs. They blow your head off. They'll blow your house up, your car, your children. So trust me, when I met her, the mother said, if you do anything to my daughter, I'll have your legs blown off. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I got drunk with her. So bottom line is, and then on my side, it's a bunch of Femi Danes and, you know, Danish and Copenhagen, a bunch of Fems.
The
so
Dutch?
I like the Belfast side. They'll just blow you up.
Yeah, they don't drink much. I only date women with deceased parents. That's my first protocol.
They drink like fish too. And
you think?
Like they gamble and drink.
Well, I've cut a mouth back. I don't smoke weed. Two beers and I'm freaking out of commission, so I've slowed it down to a crawl. But it gives you more life. I've spent enough of my time being hungover. It's wasted time and I've wasted enough of it. I want to be productive. All right, Pharrell. I've wasted enough of your time.
You sound like you're going to church or something.
Oh, blow me. Why don't you just take that fucking celebrity? No, I'm going to talk to my girlfriend. I swear to God, I'm going to get my L squared.
I don't want
to
hear a story about your girlfriend.
I'll show you numbers. I got inside information so deep to tonight's Beaver Ball Sparks against the Galaxy. It's my 5,000-star play of the century.
Listen, you're losing your mind. I'll see you later.
Pharrell, it's been a pleasure talking to you, buddy, and we're going to touch base throughout the season. And yeah. I'll talk to my girlfriend. She will vacation anywhere there's casinos. So it's in Atlantic City. I got to go there.
All right. Stay off the drugs.
There's no more drugs. It's adrenaline.
You got to go see a doctor or something.
Coffee and Viagra.
I'll see you later.
Pharrell, you're the best, man. Thanks for your time, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Shavin.